First, every day she sends someone she loves out on a dangerous job of being a cop, and she serves on the police critical issue response team. So welcome to the show, Julie.
Oh, thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
Julie, are cops different than non-cops? You've been a citizen. You've been out there. How are they different?
Oh, my gosh, yes. Police officers, they go out every day and look, you know, they patrol the streets of our cities and go out there doing the job, and they don't think twice about it. And they're out there serving and protecting us as citizens wherever we are, whether it be home in Indiana or throughout the United States. And their job is definitely becoming more tougher every day.
Yeah, their instincts and their professionalism, there's no off button.
No, there's definitely no off button. And those of us who have, you know, live it daily with our loved ones know that every time we get in the car, we go out to eat, they're always looking and making sure that where we go and what we do, we're always safe, even though he's not in uniform. So it does not turn off.
It not only doesn't turn off, but you have a sensitivity that other people don't have because they don't have to have. Is that safe?
That is true. That's very true. Just something we have come accustomed to living with. And, you know, just like there's certain places that, you know, if we go to a restaurant there, he has to sit at, and, you know, just not only keeping us family members safe, but other he wants to make sure everything else is safe. Everybody else is safe, too.
Does he have to sit with his back to a wall?
Oh, he has to sit to the wall, but to face the door of the place, the establishment is where he's got to be.
You know, and it doesn't just work in his jurisdiction either, does it?
Oh, no. No, it doesn't. It's everywhere we go, whether it's home, away, traveling. We're always there, and he's always protecting.
And I guess I'm being a little presumptive here, but I guess the only thing I can say that it does is it's good for your prayer life. It's something that keeps you very focused on what's important. Yeah. Am I right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. And the more you do this, do you get used to it?
I would say we never get used to it, especially nowadays in this, you know, in the world we're living in, and the citizens that don't support the police officers, it's becoming, yeah.
Yeah, when I see on TV some group of people chanting, "What do we want, dead cops?" and that sort of thing, that drives me a little bit nuts.
Oh, yes, it does. I just don't understand why people would even think that, let alone anybody.
Well, who would want to live in a society that had no law enforcement?
Exactly. Exactly.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom, and we're discussing living with a cop with Julie Black. So, Julie, that's part of your life. You just have to know that he's going to be doing his thing. It's who he is. It's part of who he is. He probably wouldn't be the same guy if that wasn't part of him. But you're also involved in law enforcement to a degree, aren't you?
Yes, I am. I work for the Indianapolis Police Department, and I also work with the Fraternal Order of Police here in Indianapolis. So I not only I am the president of the auxiliary, which is a part of the Fraternal Order of Police organization that includes all family members, spouses, children, moms, dads, all that kind of relationship to police officers.
What do you do on the response team that you're on? What is that about? Because that's part of police work, too, even though police officers don't do it. Is that right?
That is correct. For our auxiliary critical incident team, we respond to incidents, whether it be an officer being shot in the line of duty, if he's been in an accident, or just any other little thing that may cause him to go to the hospital for some reason. We respond to the hospital to assist with whatever we can assist with, whether it is as simple as getting water and food for the police officers that also show up to support the officer who's been injured, to help with the family, the spouse, help in whatever she would need while he is there at the hospital.
That makes sense, and I would suspect that the officer doesn't have to be hurt in the line of duty. It's the community, right?
Right. It could be whether he's on working, you know, whether he is working or whether he's involved in, just a car accident or whatever. If somebody, if one of our officers gets hurt and goes to the hospital or whatever, we make sure that the families take care of while they are there and when they are released to go home. We will make sure that he's taken care of, take meals to them, whatever needs to be done, whether it be cutting grass. We also, would help out in that area. There's snow removal, whatever the family needs at the time. We will help get things.
Okay. I presume you would also lend a hand if a family member of a police officer was injured.
Yes. We've had several people. We live in Indianapolis, which is centrally located here in Indiana. We've had family members who have been from, like, South Bend who has come down for, their daughter was really sick or they send them to Riley Hospital, things like that. The kids, we've also jumped in whenever somebody notifies us. We will jump in and help do whatever it is for the law enforcement family as well.
That's phenomenal, but also important because that's what a community does for each other, isn't it?
That is, and that's what's so important, and that's what's so good about the Fraternal Order of Police is that we, whatever it is, whoever contacts us, we're there to kind of drop whatever we're doing and go help whatever needs to be done with our family. It's our blue family. So no matter where they're from or what the issue is, we will do what we can to help out.
You know, that's what community does. And
yes.
To me, the greatest thing that we listeners can do to support this is to appreciate our police officers. If I'm in an airport or someplace and I see a police officer and I have time, I'll walk up and shake their hand and thank them for protecting us. And usually they're surprised. Well, we can do that.
A lot more of us could do that for every officer. That would be phenomenal. That would be great.
Well, we owe it to them as a minimum. That's the least we should do. I mean, we Vietnam vets got spit on when we came home. And we have worked to make sure that, and successfully, that today most people say thank you to a veteran when they see him, or thanks for serving or something like that. Now, it's pretty minor, but it's a big change from being spit on. We need to make that change. We also need to go beyond just saying thank you to being sincerely appreciative of what these people do. So, Julie, thank you for being a part of all that and for taking time to share today. I really appreciate you.
Well, thank you for having me and thank you for supporting our law enforcement because Lord knows we need it.
This is Colonel Danny Gillum. Next up, we'll meet New Jersey Police Officer Ted Maloney. Then Michigan Police Sergeant Joe Daly will discuss being on patrol. You're reported to duty to front lines of freedom. Troops, I want you to balance on one foot for 3 minutes and balance on the other foot for 3 minutes. Do this while thinking patriotic thoughts. I'll be right back.
HelpVet.net was created to be the nation's number one resource center for all veterans, active military, and families. At HelpVet.net, you'll find up-to-date information on benefits available through the VA, resources on education, employment, health and wellness, and more. Find hundreds of nationally recognized organizations offering discounts on products and services, as well as local organizations from attorneys to yoga studios. You'll find them at HelpVet.net. Visit HelpVet.net for all your family's needs.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. You hear the sound of breaking glass at 2 a.m. What should you do? Many people get a flashlight to investigate, but that could get you killed. Get your firearm immediately. Take up a defensive position in your safe room, then call 911 and wait for the police to arrive. The police can do the job they were trained for, and you and your family can stay safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
Here's some great news. If you missed the deadline to sign up for health insurance, or more importantly, if you sign up for a plan that you're just not happy with, you still have a choice. It's called MediShare, and MediShare is a Christian healthcare sharing program. It's been around for 25 years. They have more than 400,000 members now around the country. And get this, over the years, MediShare members have shared more than $2 billion of each other's medical bills, so they could help share your needs too. And best of all, you could save a lot of money with MediShare. The typical savings for a family is around $500 a month. Your savings could be more or less, but think about what you could do with that extra money every month. So if you think you're stuck with a high-cost health plan that doesn't have much to offer, think again. You can join MediShare anytime, so call them today and check it out. There's no pressure. They're super easy to talk to. 855-90-BIBLE. That's 855-90-BIBLE. 855-90-BIBLE.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business. Advancing Hunterdon is an ever-sharp focus on the growth and prosperity of Hunterdon County's businesses. Advancing Hunterdon engages businesses within and throughout the county that are responsive to a call to action as the next chapter in business success. If your business and organization wants to get engaged, contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. Advancing Hunterdon, a roadmap for economic growth for the business community of Hunterdon.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Thanks for joining us today on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our recognition of our nation's brave law enforcement officers. Joining us now is Police Officer Ted Maloney from Toms River, New Jersey. He alone, among our guests today, is not just a friend, but a close family friend. So welcome aboard, Ted.
Hey, thank you, Danny. I'm happy to be here.
Ted, tell us your story. How is it you decided to go into police work? There are no police officers in your family or anything. Talk to us about
that. No, there's no history of law enforcement in my family, really. Growing up, my brother-in-law, who just happens to be your son, was quite a bit older than me. And when I was a kid, of course, naturally, you always looked up to police officers. So looking up to Dave and being around him a lot, I kind of got an idea what the career was. But that was just from more immature perspective. Then as I got older and I went through college where I majored in history, I had to eventually decide what I wanted to do for life. And the one thing that always appealed to me about law enforcement, I know so many people say, oh, I love to help people, or they give you cliches like that. I was always really interested in the job because I never really wanted to sit still. I didn't want to just be behind a desk in a cubicle or in an office at a young age. I liked the idea of law enforcement where the scenery was always changing. You never knew what you were going to see every day. And I think that's what ultimately led me to take this path.
You know, that makes real sense. When I was thinking about getting out of the Army, because I'm good at numbers, I thought about becoming a CPA. And I thought about being behind a desk every day, looking at numbers every day. I'd have been nuts in about 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, some people, that's great for
them. Yeah, we need them.
That's the environment that they're perfect for, but not me. And I can tell just knowing you as long as I have, that's not for you either.
It's not. So you decided to become a police officer. What was it like going through the application process and when you were accepted, the training you had to go through? Talk about that.
Well, it was. I was young at the time. I was right out of college. Bills were coming in. So I felt like a huge insecurity in my life at that time because I didn't know where I'd be, what I'd be doing. So I basically just started applying for any job that interested me. Primary law enforcement jobs, but I applied for PR jobs, HR jobs, just to get me by until maybe something worked out with law enforcement. And then I had to start the testing processes. So any department that was hiring or at least giving an exam, I took that exam and hoped for the best. And eventually some departments came calling. I had to go through several physical tests, some written tests, multiple interviews. Some were high stress, some were low stress. You never knew what you were going to expect. But lucky for me, that whole job search only took me about 6 months or less. And I found out where I belonged and went through the police academy, which was 6 months. You know, it was difficult, but I was only 24 at the time. So I was at a young age, a great shape. So it was more of a challenge for me. I played sports growing up. So the challenge of the police academy just came natural. I kind of embraced it and just saw it as something I had to get through. And in the blink of an eye, it was over.
You know, with that attitude, that's generally how things happen in life, isn't it?
things in life kind of just happen to you. And you get through it without even realizing you did it. And all of a sudden you look back and you're like, wow, I can't believe I was able to overcome whatever that adversity was. And I think it's just our human nature. You kind of just, you just bear with it and you get through it and you move on.
Well, and the muscle you need to develop is the one between your ears, right?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, especially in law enforcement. It's all upstairs. Doesn't matter how big your muscles are, how fast you are. In this day and age in law enforcement, the days of just making it a physical blue-collar job are over. It's all about how quick you can think on your feet, and a lot of it is just common sense.
And the uncommon thing about common sense is how uncommon it is.
Oh, boy, is that the truth. I've learned that the hard way over the years, whether not with colleagues so much, but just a lot of people, you just wonder how they've come this far, how they're able to get through their day, which is why in law enforcement, you really need to have good instincts to get through and survive this career.
For sure. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing being a police officer with Officer Ted Maloney. Ted, you've been a patrol officer, but you've had some other positions too. What are some of the things that you approach and there's no instant obvious solution?
Well, I would say, you know, I've been lucky to have a pretty diverse career. So I spent several years in narcotics. I was on loan, undercover at another agency. I spent several years on our SWAT team, and now I'm a detective. And even my years in patrol as a training officer, I would say you have unique challenges that come to you every day. And I can tell you, after doing this job nearly 12 years, nothing is the same. Nothing happens twice. Everything is uniquely different. Each day at work is like a snowflake. None of them is the same. So I think you just have to be able to react and use what we spoke about earlier, common sense, your knowledge, level-headed judgment, to get you through each unique situation. I don't think that there is a proper method, or it's not an exact science. It's just something that as these, whether it's critical incidents, traumatic incidents, or run-of-the-mill calls for service, or anything else come to you, what makes you a good police officer is how you react to them and how you move forward going past.
And, you know, that is the challenge, and particularly in police work, because, well, everybody has those kinds of things. Yours could be life and death. The CPA can run into those same kind of issues, but his issue is only how much am I going to be able to bill the person, or will this person get a refund or whatever. Yours can have to do with life and death, and that sort of changes the way you look at your job, doesn't it?
You know, Danny, that's a great point you brought up. And it kind of will go down this path a little bit. The point you just made is what's going on a much bigger, broader spectrum nationally right now, where you have to realize, like, we are tasked with making split-second judgments, and we're human beings. So nobody is always going to be right all the time. That does not exist. You know, you think about it, your favorite politician, your favorite teacher, someone you admire, they're human beings, and police officers are exactly the same. So we're tasked with the challenge of making life-altering, split-second decisions that will be judged with moving forward. You know, people will judge our decision that we made on the spur of the moment because we had no choice, and they'll sit in a courtroom or they'll sit and deliberate over it for hours. And I think that's what makes our job so unique, and I think that's what the public needs to take a little bit more time to understand. Just because you made a bad decision doesn't mean you're a bad person. And if you made a bad split-second decision and judgment, I mean, as long as you're acting in all the right regard, I guess you could say, you know, you're going to make the wrong decision sometimes. It's just going to happen.
And that's probably the key issue. And what we, the public, need to understand is that is happening. They are good people. And good people, including each of us, occasionally make bad decisions or poor judgments. And we should be grateful for those police officers that are out there willing to take those risks to protect us. Ted, thank you for taking time to join us today. And thank you as you continue to serve your community. I'm proud that we're more than friends.
Danny, it's a pleasure to be on your show and an honor for you even asking me to be a guest. So I'd love to come back sometime And thank you for all you do for getting the word out there for us.
My pleasure. Coming up next on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll meet Sergeant Joe Daly, who spent most of his career on patrol. Then we'll open our weekly mailbag. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. It's time for one-arm push-ups. Do 18 with each arm. Then stand at ease, but stay in the area. I'll be right back.
Now is the time, and wherever you are is the place. The Citadel makes it easier to earn your degree by offering master's degrees, graduate certificates, and undergraduate degree completion programs entirely online. Flexible scheduling makes these programs convenient for working professionals. Continuing the Citadel's legacy of academic excellence, classes are held to the same high standards that consistently name the Citadel the number one master's granting public college in the South. Online, on your time. Visit citadel.edu/online.
I started going cold turkey, at least when I'm in the car.
I know I shouldn't do it, but it's so hard to stop. That's why I hide it.
I do it all the time. I stopped by locking it in my glove compartment.
My friend used to do it way too much. Now I turn it off when we're in the car.
My solution is simple. I just don't do it.
There are lots of ways to stop yourself and others from texting and driving. How will you stop? Tell us at stoptextstoprex.org, brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump says the United States won't back down. The president is on his way to Louisiana, and he's vowing to continue negotiating from a position of strength when it comes to trade talks with China.
A lot of money is being made by the United States, and a lot of strength is being shown. This has never happened to China before. Our economy is fantastic. Theirs is not so good.
Tiger Woods is speaking out after being sued for the death of an employee at a restaurant he owns in Jupiter, Florida.
We're all very sad that Nick passed away. It was a terrible night, a terrible ending, and just we feel bad for him and his entire family.
The parents of 24-year-old Nicholas Eimsberger are suing the Woods restaurant and Woods after their son drank alcohol just before he was killed in a single car crash back in December. The suit alleges that Woods and other employees knew Eimsberger had a drinking problem but would regularly overserve him. This is USA Radio News.
There's no question you need omega-3s. But which form should you take? Fish oil or krill oil? Scientists have debated this for years. Luckily, there's a new solution to satisfy everyone. It's called Krill Omega 50 Plus. It combines ultra-pure fish oil and joint-soothing krill oil together in just one tiny pill. It's so powerful, it can promote the health of your heart and your arteries. And if that wasn't enough, it can also boost your joint comfort in just days. We're so sure Krill Omega 50 Plus will work for you, we'll even send you a free bottle to put to the test. The debate is over. It's not fish oil or krill oil. It's both. And now it's free. Just pay $4.95 for shipping and claim your free bottle. Call now. 1-800-399-6392. 1-800-399-6392. That's 1-800-399-6392.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Welcome back to Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. I really do welcome your comments and questions, troops. Contact me through frontlinesoffreedom.com or do it on Facebook. It should be clear that this show is focused on honoring our brave men and women in law enforcement as National Police Week begins. So it's a privilege to welcome to the show Sergeant Joe Daly from Grand Rapids, Michigan. Welcome, Joe.
Thank you.
Joe, tell us how you grew up and why you decided to become a cop.
I grew up in western Michigan. I was born and raised here right in the city. I have some family members, they're out of state, that were police officers. In our visits throughout childhood, kind of what started my interest in becoming a police officer, and through some teachers throughout high school, they kind of got me into contact with current police officers at the city of Grand Rapids who somewhat mentored me, I guess, throughout this process and got me involved with an internship there, which led to me becoming a police officer.
So it wasn't a goal you set for yourself. It's something you sort of wandered into, found interesting, and pursued.
Yes, exactly.
You know, it's amazing how life is like that. How many different things affect us that a year before you made a decision, you wouldn't have even thought about it, but now suddenly you're committed to it.
Yes.
My life's full of that, and I'm not surprised at yours. So you became a new police officer. Being a new anything is a little bit exciting.
Yes.
Stressful. Talk about, since not only you have been one, but you also supervise new officers, what's it like being a new officer?
That's hard to explain. It's exciting, nerve-wracking. When I remember being brand new, you have a million questions going through your head every minute. If you resort back to your training that you've been through from the academy to our in-house training to our FTO program, you have all of the answers. It's just finding that level of confidence to put what you've learned to practice.
Yeah, that makes sense. It's a little bit like if you've never played baseball and I put you out there and I show you how to hit a ball and then I stand you up and throw a ball at you.
Yes.
I know how to swing a bat,
yep.
But now it's real.
Yes.
And good people make mistakes.
Oh, yes.
And new people make more mistakes, and that doesn't make them bad.
Yes.
So the challenge is, as a police officer, you're not just learning a new job, but you're learning a job that can involve with life and death.
Yes, absolutely.
And that involves a lot of attitude and a lot of perspective. How does that get acquired?
Through experience. Either the training and textbooks and scenarios can only get you so far. It's that on-the-job experience that really takes all that to the next level and makes you a better officer, makes you a better person, makes you a better communicator. Once you grasp those concepts, everything else seems to get easier.
Oh, that makes sense. As a combat infantryman, my whole life changed the first time I got shot at. I knew what to do, but the first time it actually happened, all of a sudden I was in a different world.
Yes.
And I had to start applying things.
Yes.
Or the first time I was confronted by somebody who was not going to do what I wanted him to do. And it's a different world, but it's the same world that we're talking about, isn't it?
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Okay. You've spent most of your life in patrol. Indeed, you're a patrol sergeant now, right?
Yes.
Those are the police officers that most civilians have interaction with when they have it.
Yes.
What's it like being on patrol? And tie into that, help we citizens who aren't police officers understand what you're doing and why you're doing it and how we should interact and how we should respond.
You know, there's always a level of stress in any encounter. I'm sure there's a heightened level of stress for any citizen that's getting contacted by the police because it's not something that's a routine part of your everyday life. The best piece of advice I think that I could give is if police officers asking you to do something, they're giving you commands or anything like that, follow those commands. Let's get through that initial contact. Let's make sure that we're both in the safest position possible. And then there's a time and a place to have the discussion, for us to explain what's happening, for you to explain your side of things, for a supervisor to show up and help explain everything and paint that big picture. We understand that it's stressful for you. We're certainly not trying to make things worse.
Yes, and at the same time, you are coming in often to a situation that you don't know what's going on, and it is your life that is on the line if something is inappropriate.
Yes.
So you must be careful.
Yes.
For all kinds of reasons, not the least of which, you don't really want to die today or sure. Get shot or knifed or anything else, run over. So therefore, you are going to be more cautious, careful, whatever you want to call the, than the average person might be walking up to a situation. And everybody needs to understand that because you're being wise. You're being prudent when you are like that. Am I safe?
Yes.
And that's something I think, folks, that we need to appreciate when we are approached by officer. This is Colonel Denny Gilliam on Frontlines of Freedom. We're discussing being a patrol officer with Sergeant Joe Daly. Well, Joe, you have a guest with you in the room today. Why don't you introduce your guest?
Yes, I have my 8-year-old son here.
Hi, what's your name?
Ethan.
Ethan, are you proud of your dad as a police officer?
Yes.
Do you think someday you might want to be one too?
Yeah.
Do you like being with him today? Is it fun?
Yes.
Thank you. It always helps to hear from the family of the police officers because Ethan sends you off every day to face people who may or may not like you. So we need to take care of Ethan and people like him. Thank you, Ethan, for joining us. One of the ways that you get a police officer as opposed to one getting you is to call 911. When should a citizen call 911?
there's no clear answer. When they feel like there's an emergency that they're involved in or they're witnessing, feel free to pick up the phone and call 911. Our dispatchers will help sort out what the issue is at hand and get you in touch with the right resources or send police your way or medical personnel.
So therefore, that's a resource that every citizen can use if they feel they need help.
Yes.
And you don't have to worry about whether you're right or wrong, because if you're wrong, if it's not something they can do, there's no problem there.
No.
It is intended to be a resource for all citizens. Okay. Most of us know somebody who's a police officer. In one respect, police officers are just people, right?
Yes.
But in another respect, their police officers are people with a view towards protecting others. How do you act differently than your non-police friends? Are you constantly alert? Is it something you can turn off and on? How does it affect you? How does it affect your family when you're out doing something, doing a movie?
I think when we're out, say out to dinner or shopping, we're turned down a little bit. And there's no getting around that. We're obviously turned on more when we're at work in the uniform on patrol. But there is that sense in the back of your mind when you're shopping or whatnot. I think when I'm at home and able to sit down, I think that's finally when I'm able to turn it off and sit back and relax and let things settle back down and get back to normal.
Okay, so what you're telling me is you're actually a human being.
Oh, yeah.
Like you have likes and dislikes and you like entertainment and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
And you love your family because you're not ogres that are standing out there waiting. No, of course not. But since this is National Police Officer Week, or National Police Week, I guess is the official term, folks, this is the week that we want to appreciate our police officers. I occasionally will go up to a police officer if I have the time and it seems right and shake his or her hand and thank him for serving. I usually get a shocked look. Does that happen very often?
It happens more often than you'd think, but it still is. It's a nice surprise when something like that happens. Or as you're driving down the street through a neighborhood, a friendly wave, it goes a long way.
Well, and we should realize you are there making our life safer for us. Who would want to live in a community that had no police officers, where there was no one to get in the way of crime? I have this funny feeling that most people even drive the speed limit when there's a cop around.
Yes.
Not to mention not robbing a store or whatever else. You are there to make our lives safer.
And
folks, it's okay to thank a police officer. Joe, thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you for the way you and your team keep my community safe. I appreciate you, and I'm thankful that we've begun a friendship.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for having me.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. Next, we're going to talk with retired police officer Nick Buell about murdered police officers. Then it's time for our weekly mailbag. You reported for duty to Front Lines of Freedom. Stand tall, troops. Get a bench and some good weights. You should be about 100 pounds by now. Do an even 100 bench presses, say 20 at a time. And once your ranger ready, then stand at ease.
American investors lost $3.7 trillion of net worth in the fourth quarter of 2018. When your portfolio's value decreases right before or early in your retirement, it can have a crippling effect. It's called sequence of returns risk, and it's a risk you simply cannot afford. We're Sound Income Strategies, and we're on a mission to help hardworking Americans transform their hard-earned savings into steady, predictable retirement income. Call now for free, no-obligation information to help you get started on your way to steady, predictable retirement income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Investment advisory services offered through Sound Income Strategies, LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisory firm. Let's transform that risk into income. Call 866-913-1234. 866-913-1234. Sound Income Strategies, powered by the Retirement Income Store.
Hello, my name is Robert Burns. My website is bobburnspeaks.com. Please tune in to Living Consciously, where myself and my co-host will entertain you, inform you, and educate you in certain modalities. Living consciously is something that we really must learn to do, because that way you'll know what's going on around you. This show can be heard at 2 p.m. every Friday on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Thank you.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
I'm Colonel Danny Gillum. This is the final formation for this week on Front Lines of Freedom. We continue our interviews with law enforcement folks. It's a pleasure to welcome Nick Brewer. Nick is a retired police officer who has done some work studying ambushes and unprovoked attacks on police. So, welcome to Front Lines of Freedom, Nick.
Thank you for having me.
Nick, give us a quick look at your background. What got you interested in law enforcement, and what did you do?
So, well, I grew up in Washington, D.C., and I saw a lot of changes happening in the city and wanted to be part of better change, you know. I was always impressed with the Metropolitan Police Department growing up in D.C. because you always saw them handling demonstrations and things like that. So once I got out of college, I decided I'd give law enforcement a go, and ended up staying in there for 25 years.
So apparently you went with it and it went with you.
Indeed.
You have done some studies. You've done a lot of things in your career, but particularly some studying on ambushes and unprovoked attacks on police. That's something that we don't hear a lot about. I guess it doesn't happen that often compared to most other things. But it's certainly a real part of a police officer's life that that could happen any day. And when his or her family sends him off every day, that's a potential part of that day's events. Can you talk to us about that study? What's going on there?
So there are a number of studies that have been done, and the FBI recently completed a study that was a 10-year study of ambushes and unprovoked attacks. And the FBI has the unique ability to go in and interview offenders as well as officers. In my former job working for the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund, we also did an ambush study. But, of course, we only got the fatality data on officers who were killed. The FBI's, it's called LEOCA, which stands for Law Enforcement Officers Killed and Assaulted. Their program goes further in depth into all of the causes and an analysis of the situation that led to that officer and that offender coming together. One of the reasons that this has been such a hot topic lately is that in 2016, we experienced a dramatic spike in officers being ambushed. And ambushed and unprovoked attacks, in my mind, are pretty much the same thing. In other words, an officer is unexpectedly attacked by someone with the intent to kill that officer while they haven't even put anyone in any jeopardy in terms of threatening them with arrest or anything like that. But in 2016, if the listeners will recall, five officers were shot and killed in Dallas in one incident by a man intent on killing police officers, to be followed shortly thereafter by another three shot and killed by a suspect down in Louisiana. And we've seen an increase in these type of attacks on law enforcement over the last 5 years. And in fact, shooting deaths have increased among law enforcement since a low in 2013. It used to be that annually the leading cause of death in law enforcement was due to traffic-related incidents, but in the last 3 years, shootings have led as the main cause of death in law enforcement. So it's something that the FBI is looking at, and it's something that the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund is looking at, to study what is going on and what are the reasons behind the increase in these attacks. The FBI report finds that a number of these attacks were motivated by people's hatred of police. And I think that's something that is going hand in hand with some of the things that are going on in our nation right now.
You know, that everything you said makes sense. And it's something that maybe there's something wrong with me, but I couldn't imagine living in a country or in a society that didn't have law enforcement people. and you don't have to like them, but wow, ambush, intentionally killing, that's not a response because I didn't like getting stopped now or didn't like getting caught at something. That's premeditated and pretty nasty.
Yeah, I mean, the way I always thought about it was that it's really an assassination of an officer. And when you look at these circumstances, and that's why it really is an ambush and an unprovoked attack, because the circumstances that qualify under the studies are ones where the officer is truly taken by surprise, either shot from a concealed position, and which happens in a number of these cases. And in fact, in our study, we found that more rifles were being used against officers and from a greater distance. And then we also have the incidences where listeners may remember in New York where two officers were shot and killed sitting in their patrol car. And then another officer in New York shot and killed sitting in her car while on a post for, I think it was the 4th of July detail. And these are assassinations of opportunity in many cases.
Well, those are things that are going on. And if we're going to honor police and recognize police on this show, we have to understand this is going on too. And it's about as nasty as I can imagine. Nick, we're about out of time. Take a minute.
Sure.
And talk about National Police Week. Share your thoughts about that.
So every year, May 15th is the national day to honor fallen law enforcement officers. It was created in 1962 by President Kennedy. And the National Law Enforcement Officers Memorial Fund puts on the Candlelight Vigil, which is on May 13th, which is a huge event on the National Mall. It's a very moving event where we honor and officially read the names that are going to be added to the wall in D.C. this year. They're going to add 371 names to the wall this year. And then on May 15th, the Fraternal Order of Police holds a similar ceremony on the grounds of the United States Capitol, and that is attended by the president, and it is where they also honor the families of the fallen officers that died in the line of duty in that previous year, which would be 2018.
Nick, thank you. Thank you for taking time to join us today. Thank you covering some pretty tough stuff. But thank you for the way you have served and are serving our nation. I appreciate you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Troops, I hope you now have a better appreciation of our nation's fine members of law enforcement. They are not our brothers and sisters in arms, militarily speaking, but they are our first cousins in valor, as they daily put their lives on the line to protect people they don't even know, some of whom don't even like them. And they often pay with their lives. Okay, team, it's mailbag time. I welcome comments from you, our listeners. Do send your thoughts to me at Denny@frontlinesoffreedom.com or on Facebook. Skip, what's the first comment?
Larry from California really appreciated the discussion on racism. He can now think about the issue more clearly.
Larry, I totally agree with you.
Tony, an Air Force vet, really enjoyed and learned from the discussion on our Bill of Rights. He feels that all citizens should know this, but don't.
Tony, I agree. It's the place of our education system and parents to ensure that our youngsters understand the foundation documents of our nation. Well, this is the time we take to honor the life and service of a veteran who's no longer with us. Senior Master Sergeant Jesse James McDaniel spent 32 years in the service of his nation. He enlisted in the Army in 1943 and served in North Africa and Italy during World War II, returning home with a Purple Heart. After the war, he left the military for a short time but re-enlisted in the newly formed U.S. Air Force and participated in combat in the Korean War. Sergeant McDaniel was later stationed in Germany and Italy before being deployed to Vietnam, where he served three tours as an advisor to the Vietnamese Air Force, earning a Bronze Star Medal, two Purple Hearts, and a Presidential Unit Citation. Afterwards, he's assigned to Yokota Air Base in Japan, where he met the love of his life, Maggie. They married in 1972, and when he retired from the military in 1975, they made their home in Arkansas. After a lifetime of military service and three wars, Jesse enjoyed a quiet life in the countryside until he passed away in 2010 at the age of 85. He's survived by his wife, Maggie, his son, Major Arvey McDaniel, U.S. Army retired, granddaughter, Melina McDaniel, and grandson, Jesse McDaniel. Tales of his adventures from around the world on five continents still amaze and amuse family members and friends almost a decade after his passing. Senior Master Sergeant Jesse James McDaniel is remembered as a great military man, an outstanding outdoorsman, a superior rifleman, and a wonderful teacher, father, and family man.
Colonel, that's incredible. Three wars. Very few people can actually say that.
And I hope I don't ever.
Yes.
Our movie of the month is The Day After Peace. Please go to the Front Lines of Freedom website, go to the blog and get the link. You can watch it for free. We'll review it at the end of the month, and I would really appreciate receiving your input. Next week on Front Lines of Freedom, we'll recognize Armed Forces Day. The National Commander of the American Legion, Brett Reistat, will join us as we discuss the Legion's 100th year. We'll also talk with Colonel Cliff Worthy, an African-American West Point grad from 1953. He has quite a story. And then retired Admiral John Byrd from USAA will discuss poppies in Washington, D.C.
Thank you, friends, for joining us for Front Lines of Freedom today and every week on this great station. Please check us out on Facebook and add your comments. And if you missed any part of this show, hey, all our shows are available on demand at frontlinesoffreedom.com. We especially thank our military listeners for serving our country with honor and dignity and for keeping us all safe. God bless you and your families as you serve.
I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. Thank you, listeners all across America, for joining us in the foxholes on the Front Lines of Freedom. Remember to give special honor to all our police this week, and to all the moms out there, happy Mother's Day. Join me next week for military and veteran information that you won't get anywhere else on the Front Lines of Freedom. Dismissed. As a leading distributor of grocery products to U.S. commissaries around the world, Spartan Nash is proud to work with DECA to provide a taste of home to our commissary patrons around the world.
From canned beans to instant oatmeal, the Freedom's Choice brand has all your favorite food items made exclusively for our nation's armed forces and families with the quality, value, and integrity you deserve.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump reacts to a story about sending troops to the Middle East to deal with Iran.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely. We have not planned for that. Hopefully, we're not going to have to plan for that. And if we did that, we'd send a hell of a lot more troops than that. Where was that story? In the New York Times? Well, the New York Times is fake news.
President Trump remains optimistic about resolving the growing trade war with China. Meanwhile, Republican Senator John Barrasso from Wyoming tells Fox News that a lot needs to be done to get a solution on trade.
You know, I'm from Wyoming. We have products that we sell overseas, beef, trona, natural gas, coal. It's important for us to be able to trade. The president is right to hold China accountable.
President Trump is expecting to meet with the Chinese president at the G20 summit in Japan in June. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare. And it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Tuesday that he told Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov that the United States would not tolerate future Russian interference in American elections. Pompeo says he told Lavrov that interference in American elections is unacceptable, and if the Russians were engaged in that in 2020, it would put our relationship at risk in an even worse place than it already has been. Currently, Secretary of State Pompeo is meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Former President Jimmy Carter recovering from a fall. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky reports.
Former President Jimmy Carter, who is 94, recovering from surgery after falling and breaking his hip at his home in Plains, Georgia. Carter was on his way to a turkey hunt. This fall, the latest health scare for Carter, who was diagnosed with melanoma that spread to his brain and liver back in 2015.
Carter is in good spirits, although he's a little disappointed he'll miss the final week of turkey hunting in Georgia. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
According to an early Facebook investor, Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook have too much power in our lives. Roger McNamee is author of the new book titled Zucked. He joins Fox News and talks about why him and others are now saying something has to be done regarding Facebook.
Fundamentally, what Chris Hughes is talking about is really important, that Mark Zuckerberg and Facebook have far too much power in our lives. They're the most important voice in democracy in every country in which they operate. They're not elected, they're not accountable, and they've allowed the system that makes them so much fun and so interesting right. to play with become a tool for bad actors to harm innocent people, and they've just lost control of it, and we need to have major intervention to protect people.
As far as how Facebook is dangerous, McNamee says...
So the issue, Steve, is that there's a couple aspects of the problem. The first is that the business model is really about grabbing our attention. So the first thing they do is they want to get you to build a habit. And for many of us, the habit tips over into an addiction, yeah. a behavioral addiction.
You got to check. I got to see if I got a like on that.
I always ask people, I say, when do you check your phone first thing in the morning? Is it before you pee or while you're peeing? Because for everybody, it's pretty much in that range. And when they get you there, then they need to keep your attention. And the way they do that is by promoting the stuff that is most compelling to us. And sadly, that turns out to be hate speech, disinformation, and conspiracy theories.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Trump reacts to a story about sending troops to the Middle East to deal with Iran.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely. We have not planned for that. Hopefully, we're not going to have to plan for that. And if we did that, we'd send a hell of a lot more troops than that. Where was that story? In the New York Times? Well, the New York Times is fake news.
President Trump remains optimistic about resolving the growing trade war with China. Meanwhile, Republican Senator John Barrasso from Wyoming tells Fox News that a lot needs to be done to get a solution on trade.
You know, I'm from Wyoming. We have products that we sell overseas, beef, trona, natural gas, coal. It's important for us to be able to trade. The president is right to hold China accountable.
President Trump is expecting to meet with the Chinese president at the G20 summit in Japan in June. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
It's amazing but true. When it comes to one of America's biggest household expenditures, health care, a lot of people think they've got no choice. People are used to thinking we have to do it this way, but they don't. Yes, you have the freedom to choose an alternative with your health care. It's MediShare, and it costs way less than the alternatives. The typical family saves $500 a month, not a year, a month. And if you're single, this can save you a lot too. And let's face it, a big reason MediShare is 400,000 people strong, it just works. They've shared over $3 billion in medical bills, so they can help share your needs too. Joining MediShare for so many people is one of those things that makes you say, why didn't I do this before? So yes, the time has come for something better. Look into joining MediShare and see why so many people are opting out of the old way and into the new. Why not look into this? Just call 855-90-PSALM. That's 855-90-PSALM. 855-90-PSALM.
Secretary of State Mike Pompeo said Tuesday that he told Russian Foreign Minister Sergey Lavrov that the United States would not tolerate future Russian interference in American elections. Pompeo says he told Lavrov that interference in American elections is unacceptable, and if the Russians were engaged in that in 2020, it would put our relationship at risk in an even worse place than it already has been. Currently, Secretary of State Pompeo is meeting with Russian President Vladimir Putin. Former President Jimmy Carter recovering from a fall. USA Radio Network's Robin Walensky reports.
Former President Jimmy Carter, who is 94, recovering from surgery after falling and breaking his hip at his home in Plains, Georgia. Carter was on his way to a turkey hunt. This fall, the latest health scare for Carter, who was diagnosed with melanoma that spread to his brain and liver back in 2015.
Carter is in good spirits, although he's a little disappointed he'll miss the final week of turkey hunting in Georgia. This is USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800.
I've ever had in my life.
This is USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Buzz Aldrin has filed a lawsuit against two of his children and a former business manager in an effort to retain control of his finances, business affairs, and legacy. The lawsuit alleges that Aldrin is in cognitive decline, but he thinks otherwise.
I'm feeling younger and more energetic, really, than I really have ever been in my life. There's less confusion and more clarity.
Aldrin also talks about how at one time he trusted his two children and former business manager.
I learned at West Point in the military and at NASA to trust people. I trust people too much. I'll admit that.
Aldrin did undergo a competency exam, which he passed with flying colors. The lawsuit also says that his son transferred $500,000 out of Aldrin's account into his son's personal account. Aldrin does say, though, family is still family.
It's the saddest thing it's ever happened in my family. But as I've seen, family is forever, and I will forever be tried to patch it up.
That audio courtesy of ABC News. And finally, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee alleged yesterday that the owner of the restaurant who refused service to his daughter, Sarah Huckabee Sanders, actually ended up following her to another family restaurant across the street and causing a scene. According to the former governor, the owner of the restaurant in Lexington, Virginia, proceeded to yell and follow Huckabee Sanders as she was leaving and going to a different restaurant across the street. For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Hi, I'm Jeannie Murphy, host of Talented People Radio, produced by Mariah Media. Our show is fun, and we specialize on interviewing some of the most awesome people from around the world. Tune in and watch our live stream on Facebook, and don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel so that you can watch